And what is today's date, the 9th?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
May 9th, 1990, and I'm at the home of Emma Jean Nichols with Tracy Schwartz and Ginny Hawker. And let's just forget this is on. Continue.
Just start talking, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then.
Well, maybe we'll get some things out of the way first. You can even put the cake recipe on here later.
Oh, yeah. That's what all this is about.
He's oh, okay.
Actually, he's collecting recipes. And
oh, really? I've got a lot of them.
Well, I'm interested in all your herbal recipes. And,
okay.
And where you can just tell me about it.
Okay, wait just a minute and I'll get some here. That's heavy. Uh-huh.
This is what you were telling me about last time, mm-hmm. I think.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This was your mother?
My mother and me. Most of the hands were... This is my hand. This one was mine. She couldn't get to the plants, mm-hmm. You know, and I picked them. That was when she was 85 years old.
And Skip Johnson did that,
mm-hmm.
Did you say?
Skip David Vick, I think, took the pictures.
Huh. Great.
That was his name. Great. We got the most letters on that one.
Hmm. Hmm,
on that article. It was really nice.
Uh-huh. So well, this was your mother's home place?
No. I was raised right across here in the field.
Uh-huh.
And it was given to my father by his father.
Uh-huh.
And I was born and raised here. It used to be called Gregory.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked back on the mountain. It's about a mile and three quarters one way to go to grade school. I went up there 7 years and then I went to high school. I walked 4 miles and 2/10 one way and back,
mm-hmm.
to go to high school.
Right.
But my mother was, she graduated from the 6th grade, mm-hmm. which was as high as she could go,
mm-hmm.
you know, when she went to school.
Mm-hmm.
But my father had to quit school because his father was injured and he was the oldest in the family. But then he learned quite a lot afterward. To me, it's not book learning, it's common horse sense, mm-hmm. that makes it in this world, really.
Right. So, did you know your grandparents?
Mm-hmm.
And did they know about herbs and mm-hmm. plants too?
My grandmother, mm-hmm. especially. My grandmother Coger, uh-huh. especially.
What was her given name?
Emma.
Uh-huh.
Emma Edna. Nicely, Coger.
Uh-huh.
And of course, my grandma Cool. But, you know, really, all of the older people knew about herbs, mm-hmm. because they had to. We couldn't go to the doctor every right. time you got sick. So they'd make cough syrup and granny mm-hmm. grease, and if you had a cold. And,
mm-hmm. So
and that's how I.
Some of the recipes that you use
were handed down
from grandparents or
grandparents.
Grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And of course. My mother and dad both showed me the different kinds of herbs,
uh-huh.
and things.
Uh-huh.
And but my dad mostly because, but mom knew about it, you know.
Uh-huh.
And but he mostly showed me all the different mm-hmm. kinds, the horehound and the licorice, and we'd go out and get that to make the tea along with the coltsfoot. And we had to get them before frost, you know, and have it dried before winter.
Right. So. You all can feel free to talk. This is
no, I'm fascinated.
So, what are some of the recipes you use now, and what are they for?
I make cough syrup now.
What do you put in it?
I use coltsfoot and horehound generally.
Uh-huh.
And if I can't find the horehound, which is getting kind of scarce around here, I get that licorice that I showed you, you know,
oh, yeah.
the sweet anise.
Uh-huh.
I think it's some people call it.
Uh-huh.
We always call it licorice. And I make a broth like soup type thing, and then cook it down real strong, and then add honey to it. Uh-huh. You want a sample? I got some in the refrigerator.
Maybe later.
My daughter there, she swears by the cough syrup, don't you?
Mm-hmm. I swear by the cough syrup.
Let's see. We always have our spring tonic, which is sassafras tea, mm-hmm. and you dig the roots and peel them to make the good sassafras.
Do you know of a difference between sassafras? Like this, I've heard people talk of a white kind and a red kind. Mm-hmm.
The red is the best. Uh-huh. It makes the best. Uh-huh. But I tell you, I think what it is, I've kind of experimented with that. It's the same thing, only in different localities, the roots are different colors because of the soil.
The kind of soil.
But the white doesn't make a pretty tea, and that's why people don't like it, but it tastes the same, really. Because, uh-huh. I get mine generally over here along the river, you know, where it's more open, and it's the red roots, but I can go back up here against the mountain on the north side of the hill, and it's white roots, and it still tastes the same.
Uh-huh. Huh.
Now, what does a spring tonic do for you?
Well, the old people always said that it thins your blood after the winter time, you know, and clears out the bloodstream.
Just generally make you feel better?
Just makes you feel better.
Do you feel like it does?
Mm-hmm. I really feel that it does. Mm-hmm. And then in the spring, you always go out and pick greens, and that comes up.
What kind of greens do you like?
Oh, dear. Anything I can find. I found some the other day. I found the Indian lettuce, the wild lettuce. White top, and I picked plantain, and I picked potato top, and I picked wild beet. Mm-hmm. And touch me not, and nettles, and poke, and... one that we call a rock salad. Uh-huh. It's the purple milkweed. Uh-huh. It looks like milkweed, only the vein in it is purple. Uh-huh. So I pick that. And one that we call bear's paw.
I don't know that one.
And rattleweed.
Yeah. I know rattleweed. That goes up high.
Uh-huh. Yeah. After a while, if you want to, I can show you bear's paw. There's some growing out there along the path going up the hill there.
Uh-huh. And most of those now you just eat raw?
No. Now the only one that I eat raw is what we call the rock salad, mm-hmm. and the wild lettuce. Mm-hmm. Oh, that is so good. I can show you that over across the river there. Mm-hmm. And you can just taste it. Well, even when you pick it, it smells just like lettuce, you know, regular lettuce. Mm-hmm. And it's called Indian lettuce. It grows wild. It's real good.
Does it go mostly all over the whole state, or just in the central part here?
Well, I've never had the opportunity to go anywhere else to look for it. So I really don't know. And I usually get some over here along where there was an old hall road. Mm-hmm. But the deers love it, so I didn't find any over there the other day when I was over in there. And then we have a good mess of ramps in the spring, and that helps you feel better. Takes all the germs away, and, you know, they can't stand the smell, so the germs all leave.
Yes. We all three of us like ramps.
Mm-hmm. I have a patch growing over here. This area, they don't grow unless you transplant them. So we've got them transplanted. I hope we get them all over the hillside.
How do you get them? I have about 6 plants out in front of my house in Gilmer County. How do you get them to multiply?
You have to pull some up ever so often. And there's little seeds, like they're little tiny bulbs on the bottom of them. Mm-hmm. So you pull them up. And the way we do ours and the way I've got them, I probably had maybe 20 plants to start with, mm-hmm. that I planted over there. And then each year we pull them up and cut the roots off, and then plant the roots back.
I found out that too. It works.
Oh, so
you can
just
eat the top and plant the root.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All you need is just the root.
Mm-hmm. Just cut that off. Just a very little bit of it too.
You know, just where the dirt.
Where you normally cut it off.
Yeah. Okay. And you put that in, what, about an inch down in the ground?
Yeah, we just take a little trowel, like, and make a little trench and just put them right along there and have her. And then when we get home, our ramps are already clean. You know, all we have to do is wash them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it, right. they really work like that.
Yeah. And so that'll make you, so you'll have more mm-hmm. each time.
And let's see, we used to always make our own soap. Mm-hmm. Of course, you saw my soap down at Burnsville, didn't you?
That's right. Yeah.
That was mine. And we made it from lard and lye.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever sew for apples?
Mm-hmm.
Never?
Yeah. And I've got some dried apples. Did you get any of my dried apples at Burnsville?
No.
I had some down there, but after the kids found, the kids, when they was passing by, they snarl up their nose, you know, and there was one or two was brave enough to try one. They soon disappeared.
Yeah.
Oh, those are good. And then they'd come back around. Can we have another? That was
Do you like
funny.
Dried apple pie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like dried apple pie. And we used to dry berries. I can,
Is that right?
Mm-hmm, I can
dry
remember
berries?
When I... Mm-hmm. Mm. When I was small, we'd go back on the hill and pick berries. And after we got so many jars full, we didn't have any more jars, you know, space to fill them up, you know. We'd dry mm-hmm. apples and berries and peaches. Love dried peaches.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a screen that we'd hang over the wood stove on a string, you know, hang them down from the ceiling on a string and put them up there. Of course, that was the only way we had to cook was with wood, so it didn't take long to dry them over the stove in that way. Did you ever try freeze-dried food?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that it's practically the same thing.
Mm-hmm. I like dried food. Mm-hmm. You know, I just haven't done it myself.
Do you dry any herbs too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all I had down there at Burnsville was mm-hmm. all dried.
Mm-hmm.
The pinnaroil. We used to put it in our straw ticks. Did you ever sleep on a straw tick and a feather tick?
A feather, I think I have.
What was the purpose of putting it in there?
It'd keep out bugs or fleas or
Dead
anything
bugs.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, I still use pinnaroil oil to mm-hmm. keep the gnats' noses
yeah.
off, but it works fine.
Oh.
And then the pinnaroil, it's in the mint family, and it makes a good tea also.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I've taken that for colds and sniffles. My dad always swore by it for asthma.
Hmm.
He'd get asthma ever so often, you know.
How about hay fever?
Well,
same thing
practically.
Yeah.
And he'd have mom brew him up some pinnaroil tea.
Yeah.
I bet we could get that at the health food store. Get some pinnaroil tea.
I can give you some. I got some in there, I think.
Yeah, yes. he has hay fever.
It wouldn't hurt you. You know, really.
Yeah.
It wouldn't hurt you if it didn't help, you know, is the way I feel about it, you know? that's the way you learn, really.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel.
Did you ever use any tree leaves for tea? Any kinds? You ever heard of that?
The only leaves we ever used was spice.
Spice
bushes.
Uh-huh.
But they aren't as good as the bark.
Yeah.
But occasionally, mom's made tea from the leaves.
Uh-huh.
She had a brother that always, every time he'd come, he'd say, Ivy, I want some spiced tea. So we'd go get, but if the bark was tough, then, you know, in the spring it's not as tough.
Mm-hmm.
If the bark was tough, we'd just pick the leaves and make it.
Mm-hmm.
So. I like the taste of it, but there's others I like better.
Yeah. What other kinds of teas?
Oh dear, catnip tea.
Mm-hmm.
And we used the catnip if you couldn't sleep, that's what it was for. Or if somebody was really upset and nervous, it's a relaxant.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to babies for colic. Feed it to them by the spoonful.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good too. And I still dry the pinnaroil and the peppermint. Peppermint's for upset stomachs mostly,
mm-hmm.
and the spearmint. And I like to just drink it, whether I've got anything wrong with me or not.
Those mints, do you grow those, or do you...
Mm-hmm. I've got them down there by that building. Uh-huh. And then I go, most of the time, I go pick the catnip on it, the creek up there.
It's just a wild patch,
yeah,
of it?
Huh. It grows wild. Mm-hmm. And I grow comfrey, too. Comfrey is real good for all kinds of things.
Now, is that
for
something boys. You've had around a long time?
Oh, it's... We always had it. Mom right? always had it, and my grandma always had it, and uh-huh. all the older people
had comfrey.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
It was. It makes. It's good for tea, and it's good for poultices. Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I've ever used it for is a poultice for uh-huh. burns uh-huh. and things. Just take the soreness and the uh-huh. redness right out of a burn.
I had a friend, in fact, they're coming down this weekend from Akron, and he came down here one weekend, and he had a terrible boil right here on his arm. And he said, Gene, he said, I didn't sleep a bit last night. And he said, have you got anything I can put on that? And I said, well, if you'll let me put it on there, I bet you you'll feel better by morning. And he said, I'll let you do anything. He said, I can't stand it anymore. Mm-hmm. So I made a poultice and put on that and taped it on there, and he got up the next morning. He said, I slept better last night than I ever slept. Mm-hmm. And he said, look at that. And I took it off. It had already taken my boil out. Huh. Pulled it all out and everything. Mm-hmm.
That was comfrey? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you ever hear of using cow manure? Or have you used it?
I have heard of that. The only thing that they ever had me to do when I was a kid, I bruised my heel one time. I was a squalling and a hollering, and Mom said, go out there and put your foot down that cow pile. Uh-huh. And stand there for a while, but only if it's warm. So it warm water would have done the same thing. But I did it because I was a sufferer. Mm-hmm. But we always kept cows and chickens and horses and everything.
You ever have sheep here?
No. No, we never raised them.
Did you ever hear of nanny pill tea?
Yeah, I've heard of that. But none of my family that I ever knew of that ever used it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's a little blue flower grows right out there, and it's called, my family always called it Old Mother Schoolcraft, and it was used for childbirth and so on if a woman was bleeding severely. Mm-hmm. And they always call it Old Mother Schoolcraft.
That's not Pipsissewa.
No, Pipsissewa is for kidneys and bladder. I know it, too. No, this
What would you do if the woman, if she were bleeding, that would you give it to her in the form of tea? Or?
Yes. Uh-huh. And it would slack the flow of blood. So it must be some type of an anticoagulant thing. I really don't know, but it works. I do know that.
You said it would slack the flow?
Yes, it would, you know. It didn't completely stop it, but it would slow it down. Uh-huh.
Did anybody around here stop blood with the Bible verse?
I can.
Can you? Uh-huh.
And I also take out burns with the Bible verse.
Yeah.
All right.
My dad taught me that, too.
And it has to go from a man to a woman and a woman to a man. Mm-hmm.
And my son can do it too. But that's all I've ever told to, I believe, well as I remember. Because so many people laugh at you.
Yeah.
You know, and I can also take off warts from a Bible verse.
Yeah.
Oh boy, that was the time in my life I wouldn't have laughed.
One of my nieces, she's just 10 years younger than I am, and she had one that kept coming back on her elbow. And I told her, I said, well, Darlene, I'll take it off if you want me to. And she said, oh no. So one day she knocked the top off of it. And it was bleeding. She said, I wish you'd do something with that, Aunt Jean. So I said, okay, that's all I need is your permission. And about 2 weeks or so, I said to her, I said, how's your elbow? And she got a hold. Oh, she said, it's gone. She couldn't believe it.
Is it something that you say out loud?
It's a Bible verse.
And you say it mm-hmm. to yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't say it out loud to the other person.
No.
Okay.
Have you heard of people talk about taking them off by stealing dish rags and things?
I've heard. Heard they steal somebody's dish rag and go bury it.
Yeah, or yeah. put it under a rock. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Go bury the dish rag. But it's a little virus mm-hmm. type thing. The warts are, yeah. I believe.
Yeah, it's just me. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you didn't read this little thing, did you? Do you want to read it?
Sure.
I think I remember seeing it. When was that in the paper?
October the 15th in 76.
Yeah. And see, I had just arrived here or something. Yeah.
Now that's what the whorehound looks like up in the corner up there.
Yeah.
That's the whorehound. And now Skullcap, Mom was trying to show him in that one picture there, she's trying to show him what Skullcap looked like. We didn't find it. I think the frost had already got it.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't find any Skullcap. And we didn't find any bone set.
What did they use Skullcap for?
What was it for? I forget. The bone set is... if anybody got a broken bone, and it was for pain, really, that's what it's for. Bone set.
Well, it's better. I took it one time.
And did you?
Better is.
It's for pain.
Yeah.
And you know what we always done for headaches? Willow bark.
Willow bark.
Uh-huh. The willow bark.
What would you do with it?
Chew it.
Uh-huh.
Just break it off and chew it. And I was reading in something where it is a proven fact that it has actominophen in it. And that's what...
Uh-huh.
And that's how come...
That's the active ingredient, uh-huh. yeah.
That's the active ingredient in yeah. willow bark.
Huh. How about that?
I used to go and get it my grandma after she got older. I'd go and get it for her
mm-hmm.
quite a lot when she would be sick. And she'd just... to chew it.
Mm-hmm.
How old your grandmother lived to be?
87.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was almost 92. Mm-hmm. She's only been gone 4 years. It's 5 years this month. Mm-hmm. Time slips by.
And they kept a book of recipes, or you showed me a book of some of the old recipes.
That was my. I kept that
uh-huh.
book.
Uh-huh. And you wrote it down mm-hmm. that you learned from them. Uh-huh.
And how to make the salve. And that's real good. I went over to high school. My daughter was in school, and I couldn't buy carbolic acid. And I went over, and I thought, well, the chemist, the high school would chemist class would probably have some. So I went over and I asked him. He said, yes. He said, what are you going to do with it? And I said, I want to make salve. He said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you some on one condition. And I said, what's that? That you had to bring me some of the salve, because he knew what it was.
Uh-huh.
It takes carbolic acid and sheep's tallow, lard, and beeswax.
Uh-huh. It's for burns and...
And
yes.
soap.
Mm-hmm.
You use soap to make it harder, you know, uh-huh. base harder. And it's for burns and cuts. And
mm-hmm.
I had a brother-in-law that worked in the foundry. Of an aluminum plant, and he was always getting burned, and I made it for him. He kept it all the time, and he always had some kind of a poison that he'd get from his job
uh-huh.
on his hands, and I had to keep that for him uh-huh. all the time. I kept
was that
made,
up in Ohio
uh-huh, in yeah. Cleveland.
Wonder what the company doctor thought.
I don't know, but what they gave him didn't help him.
Yeah.
And my brother-in-law would get rubber poisoning. My other brother-in-law would get rubber poisoning from the Goodrich plant in Ohio. And his hands was terrible. And I gave him some.
Did you tell him about that alum that you found?
No.
Yeah, tell us about that.
This rock up here.
You pointed yeah. on, uh-huh. it sticks
there,
out?
Yeah. yeah, there's a big rock up there.
On the hill.
And there's a substance that forms in that rock under, it's down under the bottom part of the rock, and it'll bubble up out of that rock, and you can rake it off, and it's white and powdery, and the old people call it alum. And my dad said he, when he was growing up, he was raised right back behind that rock. Mm-hmm. That if it, they got the toothache, they always would use alum from that rock there for the toothache. So I got some of it once and took it to West Virginia Wesleyan College and had them to analyze it. And they wouldn't tell me what it was because I wouldn't tell them where it goes. And then I got some more and I took it up to Firelands Community College in Ohio near Sandusky, and they wouldn't tell me either. But
they probably didn't know.
They told me that it wasn't alum. That's all they'd tell me.
Strange.
So I don't know what it is, but anyway, the old people always call it alum. And then there's another big rock up here that's got a cave in it and a natural fireplace. And there's the soil up there, it has coppers. And we used to get that to give to the dogs. And they call that the copper rock. But it's
what do you mean by coppers? The little particles or something?
The little particles
in the soil.
In the soil that turns, you know how a penny will turn green?
Yeah.
Well, that's the way that soil is.
How about that?
And they always, the older, well, you've heard dogs getting fits,
yeah,
like convulsions, you know, or something. And that would help the dogs. I can remember going up there after that more than one time.
So how big is this cave?
It isn't too big. But the story goes that there was a man during Civil War run off from the service, and he lived in that cave.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back probably about as far as from here to the door, you know, back mm-hmm. in. And there's a natural fireplace in there where you can build a fire, and there's little cracks that go where the smoke can go out.
Huh.
It's really something to see.
It's tall enough for you to stand up in there.
Yeah, at the front part of it, but as you go back, it gets smaller, you know,
mm-hmm.
back into the back part of it.
Hmm.
And you know, another thing that I would like for the kids to know is we didn't have toys when I was growing up. My mom made me corn husk dolls and mm-hmm. rag dolls and things like that. But you know, we made our own fun,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of it was playing in this creek out here. And we get these flat rocks, and then you can get little rocks of all different colors. And we painted pictures on these rocks. There's all, it's really fabulous. I've only got one little grandson that'll be 5 in December that is interested in that. And he's always picking up rocks. And now, Mama always says, "What do you think this is?" See those right up there? He's got all of those names right here in this little shadow box.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's, look at those.
Oh, the little rocks down
yeah,
the bottom
yeah,
shelf.
Just take them down and look at them. But anyway, I would like to get somebody interested in that.
Yeah.
Looks like a little rabbit.
He has one he called a rabbit, and that one, you know what he said that one was? He said, "Mamma," he said, "that's a little man's shrunken head." And I said, "You mean a pygmy?" Oh, he said, "That's the name."
Oh,
it looked like a shrunken head to him.
Mm-hmm.
But that other one, he said, "Mamma, they must have been making a pipe, and they didn't get it finished." So he's got such an imagination.
Well, they can their imagination can develop
uh-huh.
with things like that if they're mm-hmm. sitting in front of a television
it's
all the time.
Got a little cave in it.
he said it was a pipe. They were making a pipe. He said that must have been an Indian doing that. Do you suppose, Mamma? And
mm-hmm.
I said, "I guess so." But he colors rocks, and he always
uh-huh.
takes a bucket full home with him.
Uh-huh. Did you ever have much Indian stuff around here that you found?
Yes.
Yeah, there was.
I'd follow along with Dad when he'd plow the field over there, and mm-hmm. we'd find arrowheads and clay pipes and different things. I've got clay pipes somewhere. But the arrowheads, I don't know whatever happened to them. You know how when you move here and yonder and there and somewhere else, and they've gotten misplaced. Mm-hmm. I think my sister had some. I don't know if her family still has them or not.
Who was the fiddle player back on the hill you told me about?
Oh, Hubert Gibson.
Okay. I want to go and find Esther sometime.
Esther's been real sick.
She has?
Yeah, she's got some kind of thyroid problem. She's taken iodine treatments for it. And she's been kind of sick. But he was down last Saturday night. He was down here Saturday night.
Yeah.
He didn't bring his violin, but we have an old guitar here, and he played it. And the people in the little house were here, and they played harmonicas. We're always getting together and doing something.
Do you play an instrument?
No. I can't hardly play a radio. I always get static. I don't know why I didn't learn, because my dad played an organ. He played the harmonica. He played the guitar.
Did your mom play an instrument?
She could play guitar some. But she could sing. You could put notes in front of her. Whether she'd ever heard her or not, she'd sing the notes, and then the first thing she'd be singing the song.
Yeah.
And I can't even read a note.
That was the advantage of knowing that shape note singing like that. You didn't have to know the song.
That's the way she learned, a lot of times when there'd be something she wanted to learn, something new, she'd learn by that.
Did you have singing schools around here?
They did before I was old enough to really want to do it. Uh-huh. And then after I got big enough and could have done it, they didn't have anything like that. Yeah. This
is some lady. Just a couple more questions about plants. Is there much yellow root around this country?
I have time of finding yellow root. Yeah. I really do. There was some up there. Used to be the lady that gave me part of those recipes I have lived up the creek up here, and she had yellow root growing right along the road bank there. And the state road keeps plowing up a little bit farther and a little bit farther. I have trouble finding it, and I have trouble finding the snake root.
Snake root. Is that the one with the yellow flower?
No, now that's Solomon seal, I believe you're thinking.
Yeah, that's Solomon seal.
The snake root, the leaf grows clear around the stem.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to describe. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to describe it, but that's the way the leaf grows clear around. And I have trouble finding that. And the pip sisalway, I have. Well, it's just scattered, just find one or two little pieces, and then you have to go somewhere else and find one or two little more pieces.
What's that used for?
Pipsisalway is for kidneys and bladder conditions.
It's a diuretic.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, it has a healing effect for it.
Oh.
There was an old lady that lived up here on the hill. She lived to be 96 years old, and when she was 94, she was in the hospital with kidney problems, and they said kidney failure is what they call it, and they sent her home to die. So she had her son-in-law to go out in the woods and get her some pipsisalway, and I was up there, and I said, well, Bill, I want to go with you, because I didn't really know it. So I went with him, and we got the pipsisalway, and I helped him make the tea and gave it to her, and she lived two more years. So, and she didn't have to go back to the hospital either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so much for the expensive dialysis machine.
But I wish I knew more.
Okay,
I truly do.
You get me for a second. I was like,
because I believe that there is something out there to heal everything.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the Bible tells us there is. If we just knew, or if we just experimented enough,
mm-hmm.
I think there's a cure for everything. I also feel, though, that a lot of the cure is within yourself.
Frame of mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
back in 1960, I had to have a back operation. I had two discs removed from my back, and they told me I'd never walk again. And I said, I walked in here, and with the grace of God, I'll walk out. And they said, well, the battle's half won. So. And I don't have any problems, but if I had let myself, I would have been an invalid. I did have to learn to walk again, hanging on to this one.
Well, you certainly move easy enough now.
I said for to be 62 years old, I don't have to take any kind of medications or anything. I don't have any high blood pressure like so many people have. And I, as far as I know, I'm in good health.
So. Do you sleep well?
I'm a early to bed and early to rise. I sleep real good.
Yeah. I know a lot of people that have that problem, particularly as they get older.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of problems.
I never did have any problems sleeping. Some, I've had problems a lot of time getting to bed when I'd like to. I worked yesterday at the election and didn't get home till after 10:30 last night. So mm-hmm. time I got unwound from all that, I. Mm.
Where do people have to go from here to vote?
I voted Heaters.
Heaters. Mm-hmm. Pretty good distance.
It's 10 miles.
Mm.
From here over there. And if I lived across the river, I'd vote at Fall Run. So that's the way it works.
Tell me about the Friends of the Little Kanawha. You're a member of them?
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear. 9 years ago, they was a group of people formed this Friends of the Little Kanawha because there was a coal company had applied for a permit to strip the coal at the upper end of the Little Kanawha in Upshur County. It's on the left-hand fork of the Little Kanawha.
Mm-hmm.
So they formed this group, and they come around wanting to know about, you know, people that lived on the river. And at that time, I was taking samples for the geodetic survey. And water samples.
Mm-hmm.
So I got all the information from that as to what the water was like and how shallow it was and all this. And then we had a meeting and got together and formed a petition. And each person took the petition around to people that lived on the Little Kanawha or people that fished on the Little Kanawha and all that. And so we got a stop back 9 years ago. So now they applied again. They were told they couldn't do anything for 10 years. So they applied again last fall. But then when they found out that the group was still together, they dropped their application. So, but we're still together, but they mm-hmm. haven't reapplied.
Yeah. How did you find out they had applied?
Somebody that worked in there, or worked for them, or knew about it,
uh-huh.
then they call the what is that girl? Cindy Rank.
Uh-huh.
They had called her, and then she called everybody else and sent letters to the ones she couldn't mm-hmm. call. So now we have people that come here, like from different states, like, you know, the ones that were born in West Virginia and then had to move away, and especially this area. We've got several of them that are in this group, and they help support it financially and
uh-huh.
and
mm-hmm.
all that.
Okay.
So we've got two lawyers. There's one out of Charleston and one out of Morgantown. That whenever anything comes up that we need to know the law about,
uh-huh.
then we have them, and this the money's then is spent to pay them.
Do you know mm-hmm. the lawyers' names?
Right now, I can't tell you.
Maybe McGinley. Patrick McGinley in Morgantown? I know he does a lot of that kind of work.
Uh-huh.
That sounds familiar. Now we had, there was two or three lawyers there that were just there as interested people.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that, if my son was here, he could remember the name. He went to Oregon, though, so he's not here now, but he was really good. He worked through legal aid service, and he worked for free.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the state of West Virginia paid him, but but he worked for free for this group. And I can't think of John. It escapes me. I can't think of it now.
The road doesn't go up the river any farther here, right? This road goes up on the ridge?
This, over on the other side, it goes to the hill, but then it circles back around and comes back to
Does
the
it?
River.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And this road here is a private road.
Yeah.
It goes up the hill, and then but it goes up the river also.
Mm-hmm.
How much land do you have here that you
58 acres.
And you find all these plants on 58 acres?
Mm-hmm. Well, mostly. Of course, I go back up on other people's property.
Oh, you do?
And then I have 22 acres on up the creek, a little farther, that I bought. Who was it, Will Rogers, that said, buy all the land you can because they're not making any more? I think it was Will Rogers, wasn't it?
Probably. It sounds like him.
Yeah.
I have an acre of land in Albuquerque, New Mexico, too.
How'd that come about?
My husband and I, his aunt and uncle had bought some property out there, and they talked us into buying some just as a speculation. So we did. We bought two half-acre lots, and I've never got to go out there yet.
But has anything happened to them?
I'm paying school taxes on both of them now, so the development is moving closer and closer and closer to my lots now.
Uh-huh.
And I have a picture of a friend of mine left here and went to Arizona, and they stopped and took pictures of it, and the one is right at the foot of that, what is it, Sandia Mountains?
Hmm.
It's right at the foot of the Sandia Mountains. They say it's beautiful, but I've never been there yet.
Well, that may be your investment for your old age. And then you can sell those.
Well, I have a friend that lives in Arizona, and he said, Gene, you said you still own the lots out there? And I said, yes. He said, hang on to them. He said, as soon as California goes into the ocean, he said, you'll have beachfront property. So that's what I'm waiting for. Beachfront property.